Hi, welcome to my 16th diary entry. It's about credit and how credit matters. So this is kind of like, I already did an entry today, but I just thought I'd come in here because I have a story that I recently learned about just now. It's about a woman named Chen Xiangwu, and I really hope I'm not mispronouncing that. She was a Chinese-American physicist, and lately, there's been a lot of conversation to do with credit and giving people the right credit that they deserve, as well as all of the recognition success that comes with it. We live in a world on social media that people don't care about credit in a way. You see a funny meme, you share it, you don't really tag the person usually who shared it. Everything we share and we post is usually somebody else's work, and we don't care to add their information for the most part. This also applies to TikTok. So TikTok is like a video app, and you can like take somebody else's video and comment on it in your own way. And that's good, because usually when you can comment on it in your own way, it adds their information, whether it's a reply or like, there's another word for it when you have two videos side by side, I forget, like stitch or something. But yeah, you can kind of add the two together, and that's good because the credit is where credit is due, because the account is connected. But often people that will be on TikTok, like, they want to go viral, so they'll take an idea that somebody else has, not give them credit or re-tag them, and they'll just post it as if it's their own video, making a joke or whatever. And they'll go viral too, and often the people whose jokes get stolen and are women of color, and it's like usually like white women or men who will reappropriate what they say and whatever the joke, and then everybody will go to that video more, like especially if they have a bigger audience already, which is very unfair, because what happens is, yeah, it's just a random video and a random joke. You could argue that. But the truth is, like, nowadays, that's how people are building their brands. Whether they have like a product to sell or a service to sell, they'll be very active on TikTok or Instagram. But like, I'm going to focus on TikTok in this case. And, you know, they'll showcase their personalities, and they'll be original and unique, and they'll gain followers. And when somebody steals your idea, you're taking away that person's chance of honestly making money in some way, of growing their platform, their business, of connecting to opportunities that could be out there. Perfect example is Addison Rae, how she's famous for her dances on TikTok. She's obviously a pretty girl, whatever, that's fine. And she's totally just, you know, every dance on TikTok, people redo them. Like, it's a thing, right? When a dance that's cool happens, it becomes trending and everybody recreates the dance in their own videos. That's totally fine. But the problem that happened recently, actually, well, it was months ago, is that she went once on Jimmy Kimmel, did one of the TikTok dances, didn't do it to as good as the original creator did it. Everybody was kind of hinting that. And the original creator, I believe they were, I don't know if it was two women or one woman, but it was a Black woman. And it was totally unfair that that creator didn't go on Jimmy Kimmel and do the dance her way, and honestly do it better, because they deserved it. They just genuinely deserved it. And I think later Jimmy Kimmel, was it Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon? I think it was Jimmy Fallon. Sorry, I always mix them up. Jimmy Fallon brought the original creator after the controversy happened to showcase the dance as well. So that was good at the end of the day that she got that recognition, or they got the recognition. But it still sucks that there wasn't any as much research done into who necessarily came up with it. Addison Rae was just famous because she's a pretty girl and she's just got followers on there, whatever. Like, it's not even to diss Addison Rae, it's just the fact that the credit was taken away from the original creator, and then that person lost the opportunity, or those people lost the opportunity. So there's this issue happening now. And then also on TikTok, there was a strike, quote unquote strike, recently. I don't know exactly the details, to be honest, and the time frame of it, and exactly what went down in the strike and what people were saying, but I know the gist. And the gist is that basically it was Black women who were on strike against TikTok and creating TikTok videos because they had done so much creative content that was so funny, trending all the time. Everybody loved it. And it was constantly being stolen from them, and the credit was not given to them, and they were not getting those opportunities and that recognition. So yeah, it was just, it's a very common theme that we see today online and just in general, especially with women and women of color. And this story with, I'm going to call her Miss Wu, so that I don't say her name wrong or anything. But Miss Wu is a Chinese American physicist who also experienced this kind of thing. It wasn't at the same scale as in it wasn't online. It was a huge scale, but a different version. It was in the science community. So she is a really cool woman. She was born in a small town near Shanghai, and she was born in 1912. So she attended a school that was started by her father, who really believed in education for girls. Like, even though it wasn't common at the time, it was not a belief that many people had. Her dad was really played a big role in getting her more into the sciences. I think he gave her certain textbooks and things that were really important to her that she clung to for years, and she grew up reading and she really loved them. And eventually she studied physics at the university in Shanghai. And one of her professors even worked with Marie Curie, which is really cool. And then after graduation, she was a research assistant. And then she was encouraged to go to America to pursue further education. So she arrived to San Francisco in 1936. And she enrolled in the University of Berkeley, California. And she completed her PhD in 1940. So she also was married to a fellow physicist in 1942 that she had met there, I believe. But during her time in Berkeley, like, there's a lot of things I'm missing again. I keep kind of doing this. I'm not giving as many details as I used to when I first started doing these entries. I'm trying to give the gist of it so that I can almost deep dive into my reflection a little bit more, as opposed to just the details of the person's life. But yeah, so she had issues finding a research position at university, but then she eventually became a physics instructor at Princeton and Smith College. And then she joined the Manhattan Project in 1944, which focused on radiation detectors. So that was her side. She was very into the radiation side of science. I will also make a disclaimer. I am, you know how there's people who are, it's a thing, like left brain, right brain, or whatever that is. Some people are math and science-y. Some people are more artsy. 100% artsy for me. I have no idea what math is, no idea what science is. I tried so hard learning in school, in high school, like in math class and science class. I would try so hard because I was stressed out that I was gonna like fail, and it doesn't work in my brain. Like, it's way harder for me to grasp. So sorry if I say things wrong again, or just excuse me if I skim through the science parts. But I'm going to just read this part. It says, when the B reactor at Hanford mysteriously shut down soon after it began operating, Wu helped identify poisoning by xenon-135 as the culprit. So she was very prominent in finding solutions for things. And after the war, Wu was offered a position at Columbia University, and she investigated beta decay, which is something that occurs when the nucleus of one element changes into another element. And so through that, she made a lot of contributions, discoveries, and things. She kind of confirmed a theory of beta decay by Enrico Fermi's. So she was approached by people a lot. Like, she became pretty recognized in her field. And in 1956, Tsung Dao Li and Chen Ning Yang, who knew about her expertise in this beta decay field or side, said they asked her to devise an experiment to prove their theory that the law of conservation of parity did not hold true to during beta decay. Don't know what that means. But basically, it says here, the law of parity states that all objects and their mirror images behave the same way, but with the left hand and the right hand reversed. Still don't know what that means. But basically, she did experiments with radioactivity. It says she used radioactive cobalt at near zero temperatures, and she proved that identical nuclear particles do not always act alike. So basically, like, she played a huge role in proving their theory or helping them move along with their theory, and she was apparently loved by everyone, an extremely intelligent person, and probably the top person to go to for this type of science. And the crazy thing, though, that happened is Li and Yang, two physicists who asked to help her to help, they won the 1957 Nobel Prize in Physics for the theory, but Wu's work was not acknowledged. So that's the main thing that I kind of want to discuss here. I mean, she continued to make a lot of significant contributions in science in her whole life, and she definitely won a lot of awards and honors. And I'm glad that she did. She also published a book, Beta Decay, called Beta Decay in 1965, and it's still apparently like a standard reference for nuclear physicists. She passed away in 1997, and she was, you know, she was advanced in so many ways in her time, but also it's amazing because she was a woman of color who was in the science field and doing incredibly well during a time where not many women went to school or like were allowed to have the education that she received and was able to have and to also be accepted in the field. But it does sound like, based on the fact that she didn't get full credit, that there is an element of sexism, I would say. Could be other things as well, but there's probably an element of that included in this whole thing. So to me, like, even though she's still recognized and important, and I think in 2021 in the States in February, I believe, she got she was placed on a stamp in the US. Like, they gave her like an honor by putting her on one of the postage stamps. I think you can buy it when you go to the States. I think it's a postage stamp. I think it's a stamp, not a coin. Yeah, stamp. Which is really cool for her. Like, honestly, like, it's nice to see that she's been recognized and that she did get a lot of awards in her life. But still, first of all, the Nobel Prize, let's just say that's probably one of the biggest things ever. But also, just the fact that this is something that she clearly, like, when you search up her scientific contributions, even on different websites, this is almost always mentioned. It's almost always like, she did this and was amazing and helped them move this forward. She was incredible. Oh, but she didn't get recognition. It's like, or like the prize. And it's like, we know that she did a lot. Clearly it's been stated. And we also know she didn't get the recognition. It's not like she just gave in her 2 cents and like left. You know, clearly she's done something enough where she clearly deserved to be part of their prize and the theory that they were working on. She was pretty invested. And anyways, it's just sad to see that. It's not surprising, unfortunately, but it's sad to see that that's something that had happened in her career. And it just made me think, you know, when I was connecting the dots to the TikTok stuff and to the social media stuff, of like, that, you know, the fact that I believe credit matters, like, especially when you're in a field or in a field that is creative. So like in the TikTok space, it is creative. You know, you're making jokes, you're using cool editing stuff or whatever, you're talking about interesting things. But then also in fields where discoveries are made or, you know, inventions or whatever, like, that's also something that is just extremely important, not only for your own self to know that you have been recognized and celebrated for your work, but also in the big scheme of things, it sucks to say, but, you know, we're not all going to be, we're not going to have history books written about each of our lives, right? Obviously not. That's okay. But to have certain like things be part of your life, be recognized in a certain way and given credit, you now have a legacy of some sort, whether it's a small thing or a bigger thing. I think it is important for us. And it does connect to what I was talking about in another entry about identity. Like, obviously identity is fluid. Like I said, you can change and grow, but these types of things, these big important achievements in our lives and successes, I believe are really important to be celebrated, whether it's milestones or an achievement, and to have the recognition by your community, even if it's a couple people that are recognizing it or online, thousands and thousands and millions of people, it's still important. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I really want to say. It matters. Dr. Wu was, I don't know if she's a doctor. I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to say physicist Wu, sorry, was definitely deserving of that award of the Nobel Prize. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the stamp and those other steps are going to just shine the light on her more. I think it's really important. And I really liked her story. I feel like I tried to keep up with the science as much as I could. I hope I didn't do her wrong with it. But yeah, like I love hearing that at the end of the day, though, at least she sounds like the type of person, her personality, that she just kept going. She didn't let any of that stuff faze her. And yeah, she ended up winning a lot of other awards, as, you know, obviously deserved. So it's incredible.